When we earnestly pray for something we believe to be in God's will and find the answer to be no, what do we do? First, remember that you're in good company. The Apostle Paul had a great need. He sought the Lord repeatedly for relief. But the answer was, no, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Today, more about what to do when the answer is no. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a series on the triumph of unanswered prayer. Turn with us to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 as Erwin Lutzer talks further about what to do when the answer is denied.
Now, when I was out on the farm many years ago when I grew up as a child, we used to actually use the catalog. People don't use catalogs nowadays, but we used to order things. And we'd send the order away, and a few weeks later it would come back, and sometimes the company would substitute something. For example, if you ordered a sweater, and they were out of sweaters, they might send you a light jacket and hope that you are satisfied with the substitution. They usually did not say, we won't fill the order, they filled it with something else. And God is saying to the Apostle Paul here, he's saying, I am saying no to your request, but I'm giving you something else. I am not indifferent to my answer. When God says no, it isn't just a plain no, it's always no, but there's something else that I have in mind. Grace is going to be given to you. I think of Johnny Erickson, to whom I referred earlier. This young woman has blessed millions. Many of you know about her because she has Johnny and Friends and that marvelous ministry. And she's been here to the Moody Church many times. And you remember in that diving accident, there she is. She becomes a quadriplegic. And after it happened, as just a college student, she wanted to die. She hoped and begged that people would give her some kind of pills so that she could commit suicide and get out of her misery. But nobody did, and so she went on living. And then, because she was a Christian, she learned that there were those who believed in faith healing. She attended the faith healing services. And she attended these with hope and encouragement from friends. And the passage of Scripture that she zeroed in on more particularly than any other was the fifth chapter of the Gospel of John, where Jesus heals the paralytic that was there along the pool by the pool of Bethesda. And he was there for 38 years. And Jesus comes along and says, take up your pallet and walk. That was her passage. But even though she had faith, even though this was her passage that she would be healed, the healing never came. One time at Founders Week a few years ago, she was here at the church and she told this story, and I could not even keep back the tears. She said, recently I was in Israel. This is now 40 years later, 35 or 40 years later. She said, I was in Israel. And she said, I went and I was wheeled next to the pool of Bethesda. And she said, when I looked at that pool, I thanked God that he had not healed me in those 35 years because of all the grace and because of all the ministry he gave me as a result of my infirmity. God says, Johnny, I'm not going to heal you, but I'm not going to just leave you there hopelessly. I am going to give you grace. I think of a family that has a child with a huge disability. I won't even describe it to you. It's not just a normal disability, but far beyond that. And how these parents lovingly take care of the child in exasperation, and they watch the child suffer, but there's nothing they can do for that suffering. They have the best of medical care. You say, oh, Pastor Lutzer, would you have the grace to look after a child like that? I don't have that kind of grace. I don't. But hear me carefully. If God had given us a child like that, I believe that God would have supplied the grace. Grace comes in the midst of our need, and God says, Paul, the answer is no. But it isn't a harsh, uncaring no. It is grace that I am giving you. So what is Paul's response now? We've looked at the request. We've looked at the reply. What is Paul's response? He says in the middle of verse 9 now, "Therefore I will boast all the more because of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." He says, "If I receive grace, I also receive power. I accept it. I've prayed that I might be rid of it, but now I've made friends with it." Now, theologically, you need to think very carefully at this point. Remember that this thorn was a messenger of Satan, a demon in point of fact. If Paul had lived today with some preachers, he would have been simply told, "Oh, you just need to ask that demon to banish, because we have authority over all evil spirits, and we're told that we can even cause all the evil spirits in Chicago to leave, etc." We do have some authority, but our authority is not unlimited. And there are times when God says, "I want you to live with your infirmity." As far as we know, Paul died with it. "But my strength is going to be perfected in that weakness." And Paul says, the demon who is clearly my enemy, the demon who wants to destroy me, who is thoroughly, irredeemably evil, becomes an asset to me because of what God is going to do in my life as a result of his persecution and harassment. Wow! That's what the Apostle Paul says. It has often been said, you know, that what cannot be cured must be endured. Paul is well beyond that. Look at what the text says. He says, "I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness." This isn't simply a stoic endurance. Paul says, if through my weakness the power of Christ is seen, if through my weakness grace is given, then I can understand that I was asking for a kernel, but it is God who gave me a harvest. I was asking for a trinket. And God says, "Paul, I want to give you true wealth. I want to give you something far better than deliverance from your thorn. I want to show you my grace and my strength." And you'll notice that he says, "I will receive then God's power." Now, there are two ways to make a burden bearable. Let's suppose that someone were to ask you to carry 100 pounds. I don't know about you, but I doubt very, very much that I can carry 100 pounds. And quite frankly, I don't want to try. But let's suppose that you can't do it, and there are two ways to get us to do it. One way is to lighten the load. God comes along and says, it's no longer 100 pounds, but now it's 30. And I say, okay, 30 I think I can do. God lightens the load. Sometimes God does that in our lives. He lightens the load. But there are other times when God simply says, "I'm going to ask you to carry the load, but I'm going to give you the shoulders upon which you can carry it. I'm going to strengthen you." So God says, I will either lighten the load, or I will supply the grace for you to bear it. And so the Apostle Paul acknowledges that. Now, what is the bottom line? Why should we be changed forever because we've heard this message? Why should this message be so transforming that we never look at our thorn in the flesh quite the same again? Let me give you some life-changing lessons. First of all, with burdens come blessings. God doesn't willy-nilly give you a burden without giving you grace and giving you a blessing. There is a reason why that thorn will not go away. There is a reason for it. And God says, "Yes, I have a reason, and the reason is grace and strength, perfect in weakness." Hudson Taylor said these interesting words. He says, "It matters little to my servant whether I send him to buy a few things or more expensive articles. In either case, I pay the bill." God says, "You walk close with me, whether your burden is heavy or light, I will be there to meet your need, and my grace will be sufficient. It will fill up what it is that you need to walk with me." So that's the first lesson. The first lesson is that burdens can bring blessings and do bring blessings. Secondly, burdens are specifically chosen. for us. They are specifically chosen for us. Notice that the Apostle Paul says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. That's in verse 7. Well, thank you very much, Lord, for your gift. I was expecting something else for Christmas, quite frankly. God says, Paul, this burden is for you, specifically. You know, all of my suits are bought just off the rack, but many years ago, more than 20 years ago, I was in Hong Kong, that great and wonderful city, and somebody convinced me to have a suit tailor-made. So I had that suit tailor-made, and it fit for a while. But afterwards, as the years went by, it began to shrink so horribly that there was no possible way that I could get into it, try as I might. So I think we've given it away. But here's the point I want to make. When God sends you a trial, it is not one just off the rack. It is tailor-made for you. Remember, you are number one on God's list of things to take care of in the universe. And so it is apportioned to you. Paul, it is given to you that you have this thorn in the flesh. This is yours. I have another one for others. But this is yours, Paul. Do you realize that God is specifically interested in you? He's not just interested in the body of Christ somehow namelessly. He's interested in the body, but he's interested in individuals. Earlier, the choir sang so beautifully, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. My, how I love those words. Because that's what it's all about at the end of the day. It's relationship with Christ, and he is the lover of your soul, if you know him. And so what God wants is for us to walk with him and to know that burdens are specifically chosen by God for us. And then number three, most importantly, you can be changed forever if you listen carefully. Sufficient grace comes with sufficient faith. Sufficient grace comes with sufficient faith. Because here's what some of you are saying. You are saying to me, be honest now. I can read your minds like the innards of a clock. Be honest with me. You know what you're saying? You're saying God's grace isn't sufficient for me. Yes, my friend, and this is Pastor Lutzer, and that's why it is so necessary for you to tune in next time. Because I'm going to explain why it is that sometimes we think that God's grace is not sufficient. And I'll be giving an illustration of a person who believed that the grace wasn't sufficient, but discovered it was. God bless you, have a good day, and I'll see you next time.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with more of When the Answer is Denied, the fifth in a six-part series on the triumph of unanswered prayer. Tomorrow, more lessons we can take home from Paul's writing in 2 Corinthians. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. As a help in working through unanswered prayer, this series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the triumph of unanswered prayer. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.